Today's Bible reading is from Galatians 5, verse 13 to 15. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Many of the films which stir our hearts the most are films about freedom. Films such as The Shawshank Redemption, where you have a man, Andy Dufresne, who is wrongly imprisoned for 20 years in Shawshank Prison, who finally escapes and finds freedom. Or Lord of the Rings, where the hobbit Frodo makes his way to Mordor and destroys the Ring of Power in Mount Doom and frees Middle-earth from the evil clutches of Sauron. Or Chicken Run, where you have a flock of chickens who are doomed to become chicken pie, but who build a plane and fly over the farm fence to freedom. Now, there's something in those films that resonates with our hearts, I think, because we want freedom. We want to be free, and we want to live free lives. And when it comes to Christianity, many people think that Christianity is the opposite of freedom, because Christianity, many people think, is a religion all about rules and regulations, and that is a straitjacket that brings slavery. It doesn't bring freedom. And so many people don't want to become Christians because they don't want to lose the freedom that they have. But that's a complete misunderstanding of Christianity. The book of Galatians, which we've been looking at, explains the Christian message and the heart of the Christian gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about freedom. Paul says it in verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Again in verse 13 he says, you are called to freedom. Christianity is all about freedom. When Jesus Christ came, when he began his ministry in Luke chapter 4, he quotes Isaiah 61 when he goes to the synagogue. And that's all about freedom. He says, I've come with the Spirit of the Lord upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus says, when I have come to bring freedom. Christianity is all about freedom. The salvation that Jesus Christ brings is freedom. It's freedom from the need to prove yourself. It's freedom from being under the law and having to follow its regulations. It's freedom from having to try to earn God's favor. It's freedom from having to live up to certain standards that you've set yourself or expectations that other people have from you. It's freedom from those things. It's freedom from sin. It's freedom from pride. It's freedom from fear. It's freedom from guilt. It's freedom from despair. Christianity is freedom. And that freedom comes to us through the grace of God. And we receive it simply by faith in Jesus Christ. See, Christianity is all about freedom. Now, the key question that we have to ask in response to that. And the key question we're looking at this morning is this. What do you do with your freedom? When you become a Christian, when you put your trust in Jesus, how should you then live? How do you use your freedom? How do you live a free life? Well, verses 13 to 15 of Galatians 5 tell us. And they tell us this. You live a free life by using your freedom to love others. You live a free life by using the freedom that you enjoy to love other people. And so there's four things about that love in particular that I want us to see this morning. I want us to see the life of love, the law of love, the lack of love, and the Lord of love. The life of love, the law of love, the lack of love, and the Lord of love. First of all, the life of love. When a prisoner comes out of Strange Ways prison, he has a choice to make, and he can do one of two things. He can either go out and reoffend and end up back in prison, or he can go straight and live free. And that same choice is the choice that every Christian has when they become a Christian, when they put their trust in Jesus. You can either go back to slavery, or you can live free. What's slavery? Well, Paul tells us in verse 13, he says, "You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." By flesh here, Paul isn't talking about the physical body. He's talking about the remaining presence of sin in our lives. You see, when you become a Christian, you become a new person. You have a new nature. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. The old has gone and the new has come. But there remains in our lives remnants of that old self, that old life that we used to live. Someone described it as being like the scab on a wound that has virtually healed. Or like the grave clothes of Lazarus after Jesus has raised him from the dead. That flesh, that sin affects our lives. And what do we mean by the flesh? What does the flesh do? Well, the flesh is self-centered. That's what the flesh is. The flesh seeks to serve itself. It's all about self-salvation. It's all about doing stuff for oneself. It's all about what you do. That's what the flesh is. And in fact, that's what the false teachers were actually encouraging the Galatians to do, to serve the flesh. To serve the flesh by observing certain religious practices, by trying to obey certain rules and regulations. Yes, they said, believe in Jesus by all means, but you also need to do these things for God to be pleased with you. Sometimes you can hear it in churches today. You know, yes, believing in Jesus is great, but if you really want to please God, if you really want to be accepted by God, then give money to the church. Serve in these ministries. Follow these rituals. Then you'll be really Christian because God will be really pleased with you. I remember after becoming a Christian, I went back to my local parish church and I told them what had happened and I'd become a Christian. And I said it was all about believing in Jesus and it was all about reading the Bible and that's what it was all about. And, you know, it wasn't about doing all these rituals that I used to do when I was young in the church. It wasn't about, you know, swinging incense, and it wasn't about candles and bowing at the right time and all the rest of it. And the vicar's response to me was this. He said, "You've got such a simple understanding of Christianity. You know, when you get a bit older, when you become a bit more mature, then you'll really understand, and then you'll start doing all these things." Perhaps I haven't grown up. See, what was the issue with that? That's living by the flesh. And the flesh likes to do those things because it likes to have tangible goals and external behaviors that it can point to and say, because I do this, because I've done that, God is pleased with me and God accepts me. Because I'm a good person, I am definitely on my way to heaven. But when you do that, you're not living in freedom. You're living in slavery. And what's freedom? What's the alternative choice we can make? Well, freedom, Paul says, is using your freedom to live a life of love. Through love, serve one another. In other words, you are free. Now use your freedom to serve. Or in fact, what he really says is, you are free. Now use your freedom to become a slave to other people. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, explained it like this. He said, a Christian is an utterly free person. Lord of all, subject to none. But a Christian is an utterly dutiful person. Servant of all, subject to all. Now that sounds like the opposite of freedom. You're free to be a slave. Isn't that the opposite of freedom? How isn't it the opposite of freedom? Well, it's not the opposite of freedom because when you use your freedom to serve others in love, you are being the person, the man, the woman that God created you to be. When you use your freedom to serve others in love, you are being the person, the man, the woman that God created you to be. And that's freedom. It's like a goldfish in a tank of water. You know, you take the goldfish out of the tank of water. We used to have goldfish, and once they were taken out of the tank of water, you take them out of the tank of water, you put them on the side. What's going to happen to that goldfish? You know, you freed them, haven't you, from the tank of water? Well, they're going to die. They're going to die because when you put them in the tank, when you put them in the water, that is the context in which they are free. The water is the context in which a goldfish is free. So what's the context in which you are free? Well, the context is love. You see, to the extent that you love other people and serve other people is to the extent that you live a free life. It's to the extent that you are being who God created you to be. You see, God created you to be a person of love, to be a person who knows his love, to be a person who loves him, to be a person who loves others and knows the love of other people as well. That's who God created you to be. And so to the extent you do that and live like that, it's to the extent you're being who God wanted you to be. And so if your freedom is leading you in any direction away from love, then get rid of that thing. And so the question for us this morning is this true for you? First of all, are you free? Have you been set free by Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him and experienced the freedom from that slavery? And if you are free, how are you using your freedom? Are you using it to serve yourself or to serve others? Are you using your freedom to go back to slavery, or are you using your freedom to live free? Or to put it like this, are you using your freedom for your own happiness? Or does your freedom come by finding joy in other people's happiness? The life of love. Second thing we see is the law of love. Verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul here quotes Leviticus 19, which Jesus himself refers to in Mark chapter 12, when he talks about the summary of the law, he says, the law is summarized, Jesus says, by loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is really surprising. It's really surprising that Paul writes this here in the book of Galatians, because for the past four and a half chapters, Paul has been criticizing the law. And now here, he seems to affirm the law. So what's going on? Has he forgotten what he's already said? What's going on is this. The issue in the churches of Galatia, modern-day Turkey, is that false teachers had come in and had added to the gospel. They were saying that you become a Christian by believing in Jesus and by observing these regulations and keeping the law. And Paul says, no, you've misunderstood.